seen enough.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You know, I've seen enough of Zach Wilson.
We got to do everything we can just to try and prove him wrong.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Just a total hot mess that is the New York Jets.
They just got kicked in the stomach when they were planning for Aaron Rodgers be everything for this franchise.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Steelers cornerback Patrick Peterson. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air on the Roku channel. Free on all Roku devices. Select Samsung Smart TV. Free on Amazon Fire TV. The Roku app, because the Roku channel's on it. TheRokuChannel.com. All of those ways is how you can go and tune in to us every day between 12 to 3 Eastern time and then see the show re-air over and over again once we're off the air. And you tune in right now and you could see Chris Brockman wearing his shirt all the way buttoned up to the top as he always does. And you're saying the comment section. What comment section are you seeing this in?
People don't like it. People don't like it.
Why don't they like it? You know what? You know what it makes you look like? Untrustworthy. Makes you look. It's like, how do you trust a guy that does this?
I think this is like classy.
Cooper, although Cooper, my 12-year-old, wears his polo shirts, for the lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
Golf shirts, all buttoned up to the top as well. He likes that too.
Yeah.
You and my youngest son are kind of lockstep in that.
A good look. I don't know. It looks good on me. You know what I mean? Like,
does it?
The open buttons look good on you. This looks good on me.
Okay.
Mind your business, people.
So I would look even more untrustworthy if I did that.
There's no help. You don't
look untrustworthy just because you're wearing a Raider hat. I don't. By the way, you're in the home of the Raiders essentially this Sunday.
I will be. I don't trust people with tattoos. So. That's just my
thing. He doesn't trust himself.
You can trust yourself. DJ, what's up over there, sir? How are you?
I mean, on the rare occasion that I do wear a shirt with buttons, I'm like Brockman. I go all the way up like Fat Joe.
Okay. Fat Joe. All the way up. Oh, my gosh. Hey, look, one thing that I love to do other than this show and professionally, and you know how many times I've said this too. Susie's not a big fan when I say it all the time. I was put on this planet to give away cash and prizes.
Of course.
You know? I agree.
So whenever I do game day mornings, game night, you know, where I'm the host of whatever game we're playing, Family Feud this past week, where Mooch cheated significantly.
In what way?
Oh, dude.
I missed that.
Dude. You missed it? It was a Family Feud where Irv.
It's a 4-hour show. I can't catch every segment.
Well, no, Irv and Kurt, we played. Irv had one team with Mooch on it and Kimmy Checks, and I believe Gerald McCoy was on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another team with Kurt and Cynthia Freeland and Kyle Brandt, who was in studio. And the reason it was Kurt versus Irv, because it was Cowboys versus Cardinals.
Right.
And so we all the answers were Cardinals and Cowboys related. And so the final category, when the winner would take the game, is which quarterback has the most passing yards, Cardinals quarterback most passing yards against the Cowboys. Obviously, you know, Kurt wasn't in the top three answers, which is kind of the wink and the nod from the game day producers with sharp elbows. And it just, whoever got the number one answer was going to win. And the first person to choose was Kimmy Checks, who says Jim Hart, who played in the late 60s to the 80s, mm-hmm. long before Kimmy Checks was probably a twinkle in anybody's eye. And we just started smelling a rat. Like, what's up with that? How would she know Jim Hart? How would she know Jim Hart?
Wow.
Sure enough.
Was it number one?
Of course. Game over. Sure enough. And Kurt's losing his mind.
That's amazing.
Kurt was losing his mind. Sure enough, there is video captured on one of the many cameras of Mooch mouthing the words Jim Hart to Kimmy Checks. Like a child. Like an absolute total child, mouthing the words. So, God bless our producers, Luke Lesword and Andy Gregg. We got a red challenge flag. We gave it to Kurt in the final segment of the show to throw it and put the video up on the screen of Mooch absolutely cheating.
Wow.
But it's Family Feud. Like,
no.
You're not cheating. You're not trying.
No.
You know what I mean?
You can't share answers?
No. No, you don't.
No, not only if it's you're trying
to
steal.
Only when you're trying to steal.
Only when you're trying to steal.
No, it's like, you know. And the crazy thing is I don't think anybody would have gotten Jim Hart. And after, I'm sure someone, whoever was up for Team Kurt, would not have guessed it. Mooch was next. He could have won fair and square. But no, no. He had to cheat and mouth the words Jim Hart.
I respect it.
Do you really?
I absolutely do.
Well, anyway, I bring all this up because other than giving away cash and prizes, what I think I've been put on the planet to do that I have yet to do is appear on the competition committee of the National Football League. I deserve a spot there. There does appear to be a need for a fan representative on the competition committee.
Well, you're an employee. You're not a fan.
I am a fan at heart, sir. But being an employee should be a pathway to getting a seat here. I watch enough football, and I talk enough football, and I talk to enough people who love football to know what fans want. And I don't understand this time clock, the play clock in the NFL, when it hits zero, that refs wait a beat before throwing the flag. Could you imagine in the NBA if you waited a beat after the 24-second clock expired?
It changed so much.
What? What? Like, why can't there be a loud-ass buzzer? You can call it that. The lab.
The lab. We're going to the lab.
The NFL should have a lab in every stadium because you got sirens. You got third down.
Who's
for every third
house?
Down. You got all that stuff. You have a grown man in every stadium whose job it is to just bellow third down into a microphone every time the opponent has a third down.
Third down?
Seriously. And by the way, if I ask my 15, 12, and 10-year-old, would you like a job where there's a microphone to 70 to 80,000 people, depending on the size of the stadium, where you could bellow the words third down into my... They say, absolutely. What a child's gig it is. So if you got all that,
grown man,
you could set up a loud-ass buzzer, a lab, to go off when the play clock hits zero. So everybody knows. If that ball hasn't been snapped yet, you could see on a replay, is the knee down before the ball starts moving? Wait a minute. Is that toe down before the heel hits the white paint?
I mean, ask like, Tutu Atwell from Monday.
We are damn skippy. All of these things are in the NFL bag. But why can't we see, has the snap begun when the lab loud-ass buzzer goes off? And last night, I knew it. I knew it when Jordan Love was trying to sneak in one last play down forever, down a ton of points. I knew it, man. I knew it when he got that playoff and there were zeros on the clock. I'm like, there's no question that was after triple zeros. And as the ball was in the air, I'm like, this will absolutely be a completion. Absolutely. 44 yards. Hey, man, I know the Lions put their stamp on it in the fourth quarter. But that could have wound up being a huge play. What's with the extra beat? What is with it? Oh, it's zeros, but we're letting it. So it's not zeros. It's not zeros. The play clock, when it hits zeros, is not actually, you're out of time. You're out of time.
It's zero plus.
Except for the beat. It's zero plus. Everything's plus these days. Yes, it's zero plus. And a loud-ass buzzer lab would fix it. What is it?
Love the lab.
You know, you're just like, so it's, I don't know.
Time's up.
Something. What? It could be that. That would just be confusing to people.
What?
Am I, please push back.
Up, fella?
You could call 844-204-RICH. I'm always up for rules conversation. Always. But what was that last night? What are we doing? Isn't zero mean zero? I mean, zero means that's it. We're out. You're out of time. Zero plus means not. Like, what are we? It's like the tuck rule. With all due respect, like, what's with the gray area? What's with the beat? Oh, gosh, you're taking a ball from up here. You're bringing it down here for a while. We're just going to consider that a forward pass. even though the process of taking it from here and bringing it and tucking it is the absolute maneuver of an individual who no longer intends to throw. So that should be no longer passing. It should be actually trying to run with it, thus a fumble, which is what the NFL eventually came up with after I was pushing for it, and they would have reached it much sooner had I had a spot on the competition committee.
Debatable, but
no, it's not debatable.
The thing about the play clock is that no one is specifically watching it for the entire 40 seconds. You know, the referee is watching the line of scrimmage.
Of course.
And he's watching the quarterback, and he's watching for illegal motion and illegal shift.
You know what?
And then
help?
He just happens when it hits zero, he looks up.
Oh, and then
he looks
beat.
Back down. Yeah. Are they snapping?
So
they snapped it. So,
you know what would help with that?
A buzzer.
A loud ass buzzer.
A loud.
But not just any buzzer. It's got to be loud ass.
Got to be
because
loud.
Because you got people screaming and yelling.
Well, I mean, if it's Seattle or Arrowhead or whatever, yeah. It's very loud.
Hey, we couldn't hear the loud ass buzzer.
Shoo,
shoo, shoo, shoo. That's shoo, the noise. Shoo. You could have Jonathan Gannon doing the shoo, shoo noises.
What's up?
That's a bad one.
That's the one I want right there. Imagine the whole stadium.
I don't think the NFL would be up for that.
Well, you're in the committee. You better make a pass.
Bud Lightwood, right? Is that what it was back in the day? Was it, which, is
yeah,
that, which
Budweiser,
beer was it?
Yeah,
Budweiser?
Yeah,
okay. Hey, the official beer of the NFL? I don't know what it is anymore.
I think it still is, yeah. Still is Bud Light.
Okay, and the official loud-ass buzzer. Official lab. Another one. Hey, well, we're on a roll here. We didn't discuss it yet. We've been planning to discuss it.
I know, we've been planning on it. Would have worked, would have came in handy last night. Would have been way cooler than the onside kick that went out of bounds. Like, why can't we get a 4th-and-18 play or whatever it is? Like,
4th-and-15, I think
it
is.
Go to the analytics, whatever, come up with, because onside kicks are converted.
Yeah, the Rams versus the Bengals.
Are,
I mean,
2-3%.
Why are we watching that somebody kick a ball like it's a helicopter, like a little whirly bird?
Never gets converted. When was the last time you saw a converted onside kick? At least with the 4th-and-15, whatever play.
Here's the issue, though.
You're giving
though.
Teams down 2 scores a chance. You give them 1 shot to use it during a game, and if they convert it, they get another one. So when you're down 16, you're still alive. And that makes the last 5 minutes of a game, when it's a blow, when it's seemingly a blowout,
yep,
much more entertaining.
Well, here's the issue with that, is what's the unintended consequence? I don't know what the unintended consequence of the loud ass buzzer would be. I can't imagine there is one. Like, what, somebody gets scared? Is a false start? But the play's dead anyway once a loud ass buzzer goes off. So
you're seemingly only doing these at the end of games.
I get it, but why wouldn't somebody, like, let's just say if this existed. On Monday night, Rams score late. They're down 3. They need one more possession. Stafford lines up from, what would you say, his own 30? Is that what it is? Where would you start it?
I think own 30. Where,
own 30.
Where you would kick off.
Own 30. I would maybe push it back a little bit more. I'd start at the 20. Because now people would be less apt to use it, say, in the third quarter, second quarter.
We only get one shot. You get 1 shot a game.
You only get 1 shot a
game. Give them one opportunity.
Okay, 1 shot a game.
And if they convert that, then they get a second one. It's like a challenge.
But if I'm a team that's up 3, why would I want somebody, if they convert it, they're already one more first down away from trying a field goal to win it or tie it? You know what I mean?
Well, 4th-and-15 from the 30, that's around 45. They would still need another, maybe another 15
yards
after
that. That's what I'm saying. You make it a little tougher.
Okay.
Totally. So start it from the 20.
Fine.
Okay.
So, and you're talking about, why wouldn't they just pass interfere or whatever on every
play? That's
right.
Why wouldn't you constantly pass interfere?
Keep it like a regular play. Automatic first down.
Automatic first down. So you're now putting this in the hands of the officials.
Everything else is in the hands of the officials.
I get it.
So.
But sometimes they swallow whistles. I mean, ask the Ravens fans about what happened with Zay Flowers.
Yep.
This past week.
Make a better throw, run a better route. So it just makes the game more exciting and gives teams chances to come back.
Any illegal contact away from the play.
5 yards,
any
first
illegal
down.
And look, hands to the face,
and
automatically
like that,
is a first down.
Illegal contact, holding, whatever. Those are only 5 yard penalties. So if we start them at the 20, they still have to go 40 yards.
But they'd get the ball.
But they'd keep the ball, and it would make the game more exciting.
Or would it be 4th-and-15 from that spot?
A redo of a 4th-and-15?
Untimed downs. Or not. You know what I mean? Like, are they untimed?
Well, it's not untimed because it's we're still in the game.
Okay, so then why, if there's 20 seconds to go, wouldn't I continuously give you 5 yards to take time off the clock, game over?
That's a unique strategy. I doubt teams
I'm telling
would do
you,
that.
These
but...
are, I don't have a seat there, even though I should, but these are the conversations that are had on the competition committee. Where they're like, okay, then what? Okay, then what? Because there's always an unintended consequence. There's always one of them.
But if you're changing every rule
to skew towards offense,
yes,
which is what the league has done in the last decade, whatever. Why not throw this in there? Because the onside kick only favors the receiving team. An onside kick, a team scores down two scores with under a minute to go.
Yeah.
They score, and now they have to onside kick. It's 98% that the receiving team is recovering it. So make another rule. Like, let's keep the game going. You want action. You want the red zone. You want the witching hour to be even more crazier than it already is. Let's put something like this in so teams down more than two scores under 4 minutes still have a shot.
What do you think?
Or to use something Chris would say, just don't get down that much. You wouldn't have to worry about it.
Sure, but I'm talking about bad games.
This
game.
Is still, but that,
I mean,
that,
this is about the overall product.
There's always going to be a need at some point.
I don't have any answer to this, to be honest.
No, but do you like the idea of a 4th and 15? I'm not saying to solve the Rubik's Cube, I guess just on its face.
I do.
I do too.
I do too. But I can remember when I first heard it, I didn't. You know, I think it's just one of those things. You have to see it and then realize.
Certainly if you've removed the damn kickoff already. Didn't I see a fair catch on the 12-yard line recently?
I mean, you did.
You know what I mean? So it's like you're right. Essentially neutered the kickoff. You've essentially neutered it.
Yeah.
And kickers are still needed on your team for field goals. So you've essentially neutered the kickoff.
Not in Larry David's world, though.
Right. So why not just go ahead and get rid of the onside kick? The deep kicks are we're done. Kickoff returns are finished. They're officially done. Moments like Nyheim Hines last year for Buffalo scoring a kickoff touchdown, the first kick of the ball back after DeMar Hamlin survived, and then doing it again later on in the second half. Those days are over, finished, and done with. Might as well just take the onside kick and throw it on that scrap heap too and try this out and figure out. Put me on the seat. Give me a seat. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to discuss.
Today.
That... The loud-ass buzzer, and then I know this is asked and answered. They fumble into the end zone. We got to figure that one
out. That's your first order of business.
It is, because it's going to happen in the Super Bowl, and a bunch of people are going to be watching for the first time all year or in a rarity and go, what do you mean they fumbled through the end zone? They don't get the football.
Learn the rules before. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
So it's fumbled on the 1-inch line. You get it back. But if it's fumbled 2 inches further past the pylon, you don't. That's the way it works.
Is that literally your strongest argument? What if it happens in the Super Bowl?
Yes. That's one of them. Yeah.
Well, it's weak.
Okay.
Objection overruled.
Thank you. Well, you're not on the competition committee either. So tough noogies, as we said back in Camp Lakonda.
Do I not? Serious people.
I would go into the competition committee and say that first.
Rich, you know who they put on the competition committee right now?
Go ahead.
Like right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
They definitely put her on. So you got to teach her these rules so she can go in and act as your proxy.
Well, all I would say is the T-Swift approach I would have is I'd LFG on all this stuff. Step right in. Like I'm sitting next to Mama Kelsey and curse my head off and tell them how it should be done. All right. Let's take a break. What's more likely? When we come back also, you know what? I should sit on the competition committee as well for Major League Baseball. And there would be
all the committees.
Oh, gosh. My first order of business there would be term limits for certain umpires. That's next.
Man.
And I know Bryce Harper would be my lead witness. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
You like publicist to the Stars, Zach Rosenfield, right, Chris?
I do. Big fan.
Of course. He's been with this organization, if you will, forever and a day. Also hooked you guys up for...
That's right.
For the...
Jake Paul and Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz fight?
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag Weird Crew.
Hashtag Weird Crew.
He texted me. He doesn't like the look either. Doesn't like the look. How about this?
He texted me, I hate it. It makes me sad.
Okay.
But I thought he was talking about...
Let's do this just for, shall we say, you know what's in giggles.
Okay.
I'm going to do this.
And want me to undo
and
it?
And you undo one yourself.
Right, that's fair.
I'll do the Brockman, and you do...
So you want me to do what you do? Like two?
Well,
you show a lot of the...
Well, I don't have manhood. The sweater underneath as much as you do.
With the shirt all mammal.
Okay. Hold on a minute. See? That's, I don't, I mean,
well, you're
making have to be that wide.
It.
I mean,
yeah, that's how Rich
you,
has it.
No, it's not. No. You don't have to be like Andy Reid in the coach's
move.
Photo. Then look at me.
That's the move right there, B. Buttoned up.
This?
I like that on you.
I don't like it.
It looks good.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It does, bro.
Yes, it does.
It's like a first grade picture.
Of course it's exactly.
No, he looks phenomenal.
No, button up is better.
No, I look like I should be in the movie Witness.
Button up is better. You look great.
I should raise a barn. I should be at a barn raising in this.
You don't look Amish. Trust me. I know them.
He just sent me your conversation.
There you go.
I mean, you do look sloppier. You're right.
I look sloppy.
Yes.
No, you don't. That's because you're used to the other thing.
You look sloppy.
I like yours buttoned up, Rich, man.
Yours looks good buttoned up.
That ain't happening. Not happening.
All right, I'm buttoning back up.
You want to just show the taco meat?
It's one way to say it. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Just talked about what I would be doing if I was on the competition committee in the NFL. Competition committee of Major League Baseball. I would first thing I'd do is I'd go in there and say, well done. Well done. The rule changes this year. How much were we talking about it in the non-playing season?
Worried.
We are just at the end of the regular season. We're on the cusp of playoff baseball.
Yep.
And I thought the pitch clock would be a major issue. Major. And it hasn't been at all. And I know there was a conversation about extending the pitch clock for postseason play. Because again, that stupendous, all-time great, Ohtani versus Trout, World Baseball Classic finale, pitcher-batter confrontation, every single pitch would have been a pitch clock violation because of how, you know, Ohtani staring in, Trout standing there, tension building, would have been a pitch clock violation, every single one of them. And Manfred came on and goes, yeah, we'll just keep an eye on it. Not an issue. Who misses the shift? Not a single soul on planet Earth. Not a soul is sitting there saying, you know what? I wish that third baseman was standing in short right field to catch a line drive that would ordinarily be a base hit any other time. Nobody. The bigger bases, steals. Let me ask you this question. You've watched more Braves baseball than any human in this studio.
I've watched a lot.
Do you think the larger bases had anything to do with the first ever 40-70 in the history?
Absolutely
at
not.
All? He would have stolen with smaller bases?
Yes.
You sure?
But smaller bases? We're talking about 2 inches, so 4 extra inches?
But just that, honestly, I'm not saying that hold on a second. The idea of the pitch clock plus the idea that, you know.
The bigger base has nothing to do with it. It's
I don't
the,
know.
It's the inability the sense of it. To throw over. You can't throw over 14 times during an at-bat.
That's true.
You have a limit on that.
Okay.
That's why
so
stolen,
pitch clock.
That's why stolen bases are
I kind of like the bigger bases, too. I mean, there has to have been more people reaching and stealing based on just a game in the game of inches.
You sound like Bill Plaatschke. There's 2 inches on either side.
Okay.
It's not a lot.
I've never been accused of that.
He's the worst.
3,000 stolen bases for the first time in 11 years.
But I think it's not being able to hold a runner.
That's why stolen bases are up.
Right. That's one, too. Yeah. But put it all together. Kudos. The time of games have dropped. It's much more watchable.
25 minutes quicker.
Oh, it's been great.
It's unbelievable.
I have not thought it hasn't appreciably changed very much. at all.
Oh, I mean, I was totally wrong on all of that. It's
new
been
rule.
Great.
New rule. And I'm sorry to say this. He might be a sweetheart of a guy. I don't know. But the new rule is Angel Hernandez must no longer be a Major League Baseball umpire. I mean, out, sir. Get out. Get out. Bryce Harper checked his swing last night. Everybody check out the video. It's on, I'm sure, MLB's app. It's all over social media. It's all over the place. Third inning last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates. 3-2 pitch. Absolute check swing. I mean, there's no way he went through. Third base umpire, Angel Hernandez. Let's check with him. Oh, throws him. He calls him out. Bryce Harper, I'm sure. I mean, Schwarber's been at him. Like, honestly, the Phillies might have a dartboard in their clubhouse with the bullseye as a photograph of Angel Hernandez. And he's just had enough. And he's a star of the game. He throws him out because he does, you know, go 10 feet up the third baseline and start barking at him. But who do I, you know, honestly, I want to see Bryce Harper play a full nine innings in his Mike Schmidt throwbacks, you know.
Best jerseys in baseball?
I love them.
They're so good.
Well, the Cardinals throwbacks, too, are similar color scheme, too.
Yep.
So, listen, this guy, how many times is baseball going to let this man screw it up? And you know he's going to make a postseason crew.
Oh, yeah.
He's got tenure.
He's been there forever.
What do you do about it? Bryce Harper, after the game, in which, as he was ejected, flipped, I mean, just took his batting helmet and... How many rows deep? Would you say 15, 20 rows deep? It's a hell of a toss. Like,
by the way, over the net.
It wasn't overhand. He underhanded
it. So it had to go over the net.
Woo, yeah. Man, what a throw. Great throw.
I thought he was going to throw it at Angel, though. Like,
I'm glad he didn't.
He's got his helmet. I was like, he's going to hit him with it.
Yeah, he's been suspended for a very long time.
Yeah.
And they're heading to postseason play.
Yep.
As a lurking, I might add, in postseason play.
Last year, they did the same thing.
Lurking.
Came on late.
In postseason play. So this is what Bryce Harper had to say afterwards.
You're grinding in that at bat, facing a guy I've never faced before, and I get to 3-2 count. You know, take a slider down and in. Obviously didn't go, and wasn't even thinking about it in that situation. Was taking my stuff off, and I heard the crowd's reaction. I was just like, there's no way. You know, just Angel in the middle of something again. I mean, it's just every year. It's the same story, same thing. I'm probably going to get a letter from Michael Hill, and I'm going to get fined for being right again. So it's the same thing over and over and over and over again, and just not right.
He didn't say anything to you, did he, Angel? When
he just told me if I saw the replay that, you know, I would know that I was wrong. So, I mean, yeah. So.
Jake, you've seen the replay?
I didn't need to see the replay.
Let me tell you, because I've seen the replay. Take a wild stab. Bryce Harper's right. Angel Hernandez is wrong. Not just wrong, very, very wrong. Oh, so sure of himself. It's just, again, it's the arrogance on top of it. The arrogance on top of the incompetence equals get the hell out. He's right that I would... Again, I'm going to get fined for being right again. That should be on a t-shirt. I would buy it. Oh my gosh. What's baseball going to do here? They have to do something. Can't they do anything? Isn't this like maybe like jury selection? You have a preemptory? Like you're not in the postseason. Honestly, he's in the middle of it.
Can you challenge those?
I don't know. Maybe you need to. How about this? You can only challenge it when it's Angel Hernandez.
I'd fine with that.
Obviously. Oh, my God. Just terrible. All right.
You know, one thing I'm surprised you guys didn't mention, because you'd like to point this out. Bryce Harper's hair was just flowing.
Well, I mean, it's a season postseason form.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go.
Oh, my God.
You guys usually pick up on
that. That's a double hairdryer situation.
I thought he sounded a little.
Have
bit
you
like,
seen it?
Sounded like Chris Long. His
apparently,
voice
is the fan who caught his helmet got it autographed. He autographed the helmet. Look at this little boy.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
10-year-old.
Philly. Oh
his
yeah.
His name is Dorfman. That's incredible.
Hayden Dorfman.
Animal House.
look at this, a 10-year-old. And it's just, again, you know, the only thing, keep this photograph up because it's a beautiful boy smiling with a, this is the silver lining. This is a young man being made happy by Angel Hernandez's incompetence, infuriating somebody so much that he's got a souvenir for life, forevermore. What's the story behind this, Hayden? Well, there was once upon a time some umpire was so terrible that he ejected Bryce Harper for being right again. And you know what? That's a good thing. You know what? Maybe Angel Hernandez should umpire more games because then more 10-year-olds will be happy. Oh, my God, is he terrible?
The little kid said, this is the best baseball game I've ever been to.
Oh, my God. My favorite player got ejected in the third inning because Angel Hernandez sucks.
And I got a helmet.
And I got a helmet out of it because it infuriated Bryce Harper so much. He flipped it over the net, and I got him to sign it.
I've never
Amazing.
Seen anybody do that,
what
by the way.
What a story.
Usually, to get a helmet at a ball game, you got to eat 48 pounds of nachos.
I know. That's
ice cream.
Amazing.
I find ice cream out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've literally never seen anybody throw their helmet.
No, it was amazing.
Over the net, too. Very impressive.
Bryce Harper.
This is the best game I've ever been to.
Let's go to the guest line.
Legend.
Zach, are you on the phone? Publicist is ours. You're there, Zach?
I'm here, Rich.
What's on your mind, Zach? What do you got?
Very concerned about Chris Brockman.
Because of his button-up shirt? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, first of all, Rich, it's well-documented. I'm bald, and I'm broad-shouldered. And Chris is bald, and he's broad-shouldered. And we have a commitment to always having to be on point when we do not have hair like Bryce Harper. And for him, he's been doing this for a long time. I've been keeping an eye on this. I don't like it. We both like Ted Baker. We're both big Ted Baker guys.
Okay.
Can't happen. Hmm. He needs to take a look at you and the way you button. I sent you a picture of how I look with my button and how I do it. I look fantastic.
Hold on a minute. Here's the image. Oh, yeah.
There is no room for error for us bald guys.
Well, it's also somebody shot down on this photograph, clearly, Zach, and you probably had a lift that day and everything. It's a good picture of you. It's like you're not. Yeah, I mean, this has been edited.
That picture is with two coworkers, and I did not need to bring them into the fray.
That's true.
This has been edited.
On this.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very handsome photograph of you. I'm not going to lie. But
And don't ever forget, Rich, too, how somebody's collar sits and how somebody's collar rests
yes.
is a window into their soul.
Okay.
Are they sloppy? Are they strong? Are they buttoned up? Do they have it together?
Sloppy, Rich Eisen.
I'm not sloppy. There's nothing sloppy
you're
about what I
have
right now.
Do you need to call your wife and ask if you're sloppy?
Oh, God. Don't even start. Don't start.
How dare you, Chris?
How dare you? How dare you? That's right.
By the way, Chris, Rich, I took a look at USC's schedule, and I saw that they play Utah and Oregon this year. That's fantastic for me.
Zach Rosenfield, in case anyone knows, is a diehard Oklahoma Sooner. And despite representing me and how I come across frequently posts photographs of him flipping the middle finger at the Texas Longhorn bench and hates Lincoln Riley with the fury of a thousand suns. So you and I will both rooting for Dion this weekend, right, Zach? Is that how it's working?
Yes. I think that Chris's girl, Sarah, made a joke about the Patriots and who she would root for. And I'd root for them, too, over USC.
Very good. Thanks for the call, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime he wants to call in Zach, and slides bald on bald crime, is what you
fight.
Call it?
We're in a fight.
Brockman's bald head is shining like a full moon.
It's a good one.
Thank you, Eric Dickerson.
It is that. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna take a break in a second, and then we'll come back and do what's more likely. But in the meantime, I want to tell you about Game Time Tickets, new Rich Eisen show partner. I'm on it right now. I am monitoring tickets for SZA.
Yeah.
Xander's grades merit, apparently, a return trip.
Oh.
Issue is, she's there two nights. Here in the downtown dojo in Los Angeles, California.
Staples.
Sunday and Monday night school nights. Mm. Coin flip is the night he will go. It does appear the night we get the best deal. And the best way to figure out the best deal? Game time. Go check out this app, folks. Now, there's last minute tickets. He will not stand for that. Okay. But you can. It's so easy to find and buy tickets for any kind of event in your area. I'm talking about a concert, obviously music, but sports, comedy, theater events near you. You see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. There's all-in prices. That's what I'm looking for. Show your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. You can buy tickets in seconds with two taps. Everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show has a Game Time account. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Take a break. More of your phone calls. We come back. What's more likely on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show with Patrick Peterson of the Steelers, still to come. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 10-year anniversary, you said, of the finale of Breaking Bad?
Yes, I believe so.
Wow. 10 years ago today.
I'm going to double check that real quick. How's
that possible? The scene that made him break down, Rich, that's our second most popular video.
Of all time on our YouTube feed.
Of all time, yeah.
We might have to reel that one up for our social scene for today. 10-year anniversary, huh, of the finale?
I'm making sure, yeah. And yeah, that original air date, September 29th.
And then we had him for an exit interview on our podcast, right, Chris? We had
Vince
Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan. That ended up turning into like 90 minutes.
Right, because I fanboyed him at an airport going to a Thursday night football game in Tampa.
Yeah.
He was about, for some reason, he was on the plane. And I knew who Vince Gilligan was and what a big fan of the show. And he had no earthly idea who I was.
Nope.
He does not.
Not a sports fan.
Not really much of
a sports guy.
I said, I'd like you to come on my podcast. And his answer to that was, sure.
Yeah. Originally, he was going to stay 30 minutes, stayed 90.
Yeah. Yeah.
Left the season one Better Call Saul writer room.
Wow.
To come hang out with us. Man, that was like
2012
or something.
Well, then his first. He was the first in-studio guest in the history of this show.
Yep.
9 years ago, coming up next month.
Best.
And then just drive it. New Mexico is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Everywhere you look, there's like it looks like a painting. You know? Then you start staring at the desert, and you go, wait a minute. Is that a turtle? was that in Mexico or New Mexico?
I feel like that was... good question. I don't know, actually.
Tortuga.
Huh?
Oh, my gosh. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, AutoZone. Folks, stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me on Monday nights all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Aaron in Bristol, Connecticut, my old hometown.
Oh.
My old homestead. Actually, I lived in Farmington when I was there.
Wow.
How's Bristol doing, Aaron? What's going on?
It's Aaron.
Oh, it's...
I didn't mean Aaron, but I am an Aaron.
Okay, I didn't mean to mispronounce your name. I think we have it.
Aaron, where are you?
Bristol, Connecticut. I had no idea.
Bristol, Connecticut. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. You're talking about these rule changes.
Yes, I am.
Now,
this is funny.
I have a rule change I wanted to run by you, since if you're going to be on the committee, I'm going to want to. You know, you're going to have to. This rule change for
go for it.
Imagine you're the offense. You have the ball on your own 5-yard line. It's 1st and 10. You commit a personal foul penalty. It's half the distance to the goal. I mean, you have a whole field in front of you.
Okay.
Why not move the first down marker out 15 yards? For 30, 40 years as an NFL fan, I don't understand why they do that.
So instead of moving half the distance to the goal, you actually, because you think it's a 15-yard penalty, you should get every yard thrown against you, so you move the yardage marker further out, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Because I think the penalty is to be, nothing's worse than moving back. You know, and I understand that it's, instead of it, you're now What? First and 22 and a half.
From the 2.5 yard line, or would you rather have?
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near my goal line. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near my goal line ever.
Okay.
That's what
one
I'm,
other thing. Now.
Yes.
You guys are, it's coincidence because you guys are talking about Breaking Bad. I know Del Tufo's backup is there today, but this would be Del Tufo's department. He does a lot of the drops. Obviously, he does all the drops.
Yeah.
It's a perfect job. You guys are always talking about building your empire.
Yes.
Now, there's a scene where Walt was talking to Jesse about, he's like, remember when you asked me if I'm in the meth business or the money business?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse's like, yeah, he's like, I'm in neither. I'm in the empire business.
That's right.
That's the drop I want to hear when you guys are talking.
Okay. Well done,
Aaron.
Well done, Aaron. Thank you. What a great idea. We're on it. RES Consulting is on it. Don't worry about it. The backup, don't worry about it. You're the backup.
I've always been inspired to call that. Just
the backup. Hey, look, the graphic's been changed.
The backup.
Is Aaron in Bristol. All right, let's go to Southington, Connecticut. Balake, you're on. No, okay.
Balake. D-nice.
Jaqueline.
I started looking for the line.
All right, we can go down that wormhole. Let's not do that.
Timofey.
Present. All right. It's a Friday. Kid. It's a Friday. It's time for What's More Likely. Please hit it.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. Here we go. It's a Friday. What's More Likely? Hit it. What do you got, Christopher?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody good?
Hey. What's up, cousin?
Hi.
I don't know why that always surprises you.
We're good.
What up, though?
The game of the year is being going down Sunday in Chicago.
Oh, God.
Who's more likely to be their team's starting quarterback next year, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Oh, look at you. Look at you. I think it's going to be Russ. I think they're just, I think he's got one more year, at least. Russ has been playing all right. Cortland Sutton put it on the turf twice, man. You know, and at some point, you're going to have to stop. You know, it was a remarkable finale for Devin Achane. Now that he's Devin Achane.
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 Yeah, Achane.
He went out like an Achane. I'll just say contractually it's Russell Wilson. But if the Bears keep losing, Justin Fields is elsewhere. He will be elsewhere. Maybe he'll start for Ryan Day for the Patriots. What's more likely, Chris?
I don't hate that.
You don't hate that?
Okay. High register. I just saw a terrible Mac Jones stat that made me rethink my pick this weekend.
Okay.
Oof.
So I'll go. It's more likely that Russell's starting in Denver. Yeah.
All right. The actual game of Sunday, Miami-Buffalo.
Yes, sir.
I could be a shootout.
No Jordan Poyer, by the way.
Ooh, that's bad news.
For the Bills.
What's more likely to be the higher total? Touchdowns in Dolphins-Bills or the leading receiver's catches in Pittsburgh Texans?
Total touchdowns in Dolphins-Bills or leading receiver catches in Steelers Texans. That's Pickens. That's Nico Collins. That's Tank Dell. I'll go touchdowns in Dolphins-Bills. How about this one? Different one. What are you here? Let me get this one right. Total touchdowns and added up to the leading receiver catches in that game. Mm-hmm. Not total. Take the leading receiver, how many catches that leading receiver has.
Yep.
Okay.
Add it to the total touchdowns.
Number of points the European Ryder Cup team has by the end of the weekend.
Well, right now it's looking like one of those
blowouts.
20-8
I got it. So,
blowouts.
So add up the touchdowns from Miami and Buffalo.
Seven to eight.
Catches of the leading receiver in Steelers and Texans.
And it's more, so, oh, man.
What's higher, that total or the number of points the European Ryder Cup team has by the end of the weekend?
The Euros up 6.5 to 1.5 after day one. I believe I want to believe in a USA comeback, so I'm going to say touchdowns and
this
catches.
This is good. Who's writing this stuff down so we can check our work Monday? Okay. What else you got over there?
All right. Deshaun Watson.
I audible. I Omaha'd
that
you.
That was well done. Deshaun Watson hasn't practiced much this week. He did tell reporters that he plans to play, so I'm not worried about that. Browns Ravens, huge game. Who's more likely to win the AFC North, Ravens or Browns?
Right now, I would go Cleveland Browns. That's what I would go right now. Cleveland Browns. Entering week four.
I agree with you.
That's where I would land on it. The thing that just leaps out at me was earlier this week, who did we have on these days all meshed together, pointed out that without Chubb in there, they're now going to go more shotgun for Watson, and he's more comfortable playing football that way. And that's something to take a look at for Cleveland. Is it Chris Long who said that? Somebody said that.
I mean, he's coming off his best game, I think, as
a Brown.
I thought
to myself, that is a remarkable wrinkle and analysis that I did not think of. So I think I would take the Browns right now. And as you know, on the Overreaction Monday podcast that you and I conduct, we ended it with our predictions of what we'll be overreacting to on Monday. And I said the Ravens are in deep trouble. I have a feeling the Browns win this. The Ravens fall to 2-2, and everyone's going to be thinking the sky is falling in Baltimore. Despite, by the way, the O's winning 100 games, and making the playoffs in that respect. So, what else, Chris? What else you got over there?
All right, big game, big NFC Eagles and 49ers. They have big spreads at home. NFC Super Bowl contender most likely to get upset at home. Eagles against Washington.
Eagles.
49ers against Cardinals.
Stop it! Stop it!
The Cardinals just are playing great.
I understand. And there's fireworks all around as well.
We're pew-pewing.
I know. I get it. That's the new sound that we've decided we'll play in every stadium when the play clock falls.
In the lab,
yeah. Whenever there's triple zeros, that's the noise it's playing. Everyone will be like, oh, play's over. Yeah, man, get out of here with that noise. Washington beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia last year. They do this.
Washington just got beat 37-3.
I get it, but they are professional hanger of first losses on people. So, and didn't Bieniemy say it's his job to clean up the poop? But he actually used the S word. See, something like that.
I don't think he's ever said poop.
What else?
All right, 1-2 team. These guys are playing each other this week. 1-2 team. You're least concerned about Bengals or Titans?
Oh, Bengals. I'm least concerned about that because I'm concerned about the Titans.
You're not worried about the Bengals?
You know, 50%, 60% of Joe Burrow won a home game on a Monday night. So, but I don't know. I'm concerned. The Titans have Burrow here. And then after that, Tennessee is, I'm going to see them in 2 weeks. I'm calling their game. They're at Indianapolis. I mean, that's not an easy road, but they could come up with a road win and then get a nice head of steam going into London to take on the Ravens and Tottenham. So, if I had to choose, though, right now, I would choose the Titans. The Bengals' receiving core and their defense and whatever, they're still the back-to-back-to-back defending champs of this division. That was a big win for them, with 50 to 60% of Burrow.
Who's more likely to get in the end zone against their previous team, Ezekiel Elliott or Adam Thielen? Vikings, Panthers, Patriots, Cowboys.
I'll go Zeke. You know Bill's going to get him that ball, right? 5-yard line?
He had a great game last week.
Know what you think? Apparently, there's going to be a video board
tribute
to him.
Nice. As it should be.
Yes, for all those playoff games he won, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
What a shot.
That's so unnecessary.
Man.
As I said yesterday in the fantasy preview,
just
though.
Feed me all that
Adam
stuff.
Adam Thielen might be him going against his former team.
I get it, but I mean, you know who might not be him is the quarterback yet.
Yeah, Bryce Young expected back.
Is he expected back?
Yeah, he's been practicing all
Let's
week.
Let's see. If Dalton was starting, I would go, but you know Bill's going to use this for Zeke.
All right, more likely to get in the end zone in London, Kyle Pitts or Calvin Ridley?
Oh, it's London, right?
Ridley against his former team.
I got it, but it's London, right?
London.
Oh, this is Kyle Pitts. This is like Jerry Lewis in Paris back in the day. Jerry Lewis in France. This is Kyle Pitts' territory. He's not on domestic turf, right? How about this? 2 touchdowns for Pitts.
Oh!
Stop.
Multiple.
It. Wow.
Multiple.
All right, last one. What's more likely?
Don't you know it's his country? This is his zone?
I get it.
Man's got 3 total touchdowns his career.
And how many of them are in London?
Maybe all of them. All right, we're trying to beat the clock. What's more likely to happen first? The Chiefs lose.
Not this weekend.
Or we find out Kelce and Taylor Swift are just friends.
Stop it. Stop it. Get out of here. I'll go Chiefs lose. You know why? Because I believe in love. That's what I believe in. I believe in love. Did you see that the ticket sales on Wednesday when it came out that she's going to go to the game on Sunday night? That's the way Jets are selling tickets right now. Hey, she sold out MetLife already this summer.
Did Fireman Ed give him
the
seats?
Only difference is Rodgers was there when we were all hoping that Rodgers would be in this game. Don't get me started.
That's
where
true.
Is A-A-Ron
and don't
right
you
now.
Dare say this about them. They're in love. You back off. That's what's much more likely. I'm not here for your hate.
Again.
And not believing in love.
That's nothing.
Get out of here.
Nothing to do with believing.
Well, certainly not happening this weekend. Hopefully she'll be there. NBC's hoping. How about that? The Jets are selling tickets based off of that. Well, then they're not telling everyone, hey, buy our tickets because Taylor Swift's coming. But apparently all the Swifties are coming just to get a look. They have no idea where she's going to be. They'll still buy tickets. This is according to Bloomberg. Reputable source on this sort of stuff. Nutty. Rodgers saw her twice.
Rodgers might be there this
weekend. I heard that story, too. That would be great. He shows up, and he's going to counter the Swift reaction.
He needs to get cleared to fly. That's been the holdup.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Get that leg up. Let's go. Rodgers will counter the Swift effect with his presence.
I mean, he's one of them.
I know.
He's not counteracting.
I know.
He's contributing.
He's a Swifty.
He's a Swifty.
Guess what, though? All's fair in love and football, pal.
I don't know what that
means. He's going to be that. I don't know what that means either. Get out. I'm just so out of my mind. I'm not normal these days, okay? But one thing I do know 100% is I believe in love. And you're hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. You think it's all about dollars and cents, not about love.
Literally has a movie out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, like she needs help selling tickets. Get out of here.
A little bit more. Greed is good.
Patrick Peterson coming up.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.